Quite a few of you will be familiar with the word tulip being used to explain what became known as the 5 points of Calvinism. And you'll know that the letter P stands for the perseverance of the saints, the perseverance of those who know and love Christ. In recent weeks, we've been thinking about some of the battles that we face as Christians, battles from the world, battles from the things that Satan would bring to war against us, the battles that we face within our own flesh as we continue to struggle with sin, as we continue to seek to put sin to death in our own lives. And I wonder at times, as we think about some of those things and as you experience those very real struggles for yourself, does it ever cause you to wonder, what if I don't make it? What if it just proves too much for me? Is there anyone here who's never thought that? I'd be very surprised if that's the case. Maybe you know of someone who once seemed to have such a vibrant profession of faith in Christ, and those kinds of doubts and fears have gripped them and taken hold of them. How can you be sure that having started out as a Christian, you'll go the distance? Can you be sure? We face these types of battles in many areas of our lives, don't we? Perseverance. What is it we're talking about when we speak of perseverance? What do we mean? In 1953, in a small laboratory in San Diego, California, the newly formed Rocket Chemical Company, that sounds good, doesn't it? The Rocket Chemical Company and its staff of three set out to create a line of rust prevention solvents and degreasers to be used in the burgeoning aerospace industry. It took them 40 attempts to get their water-displacing formula to work. But on the 40th attempt, they got it just how they wanted it. Water displacement, 40th formula worked, and WD-40 was born. True story. They kept at it. They didn't give up. And eventually, simply because of their own dogged determination, they eventually made it. Is that what we're talking about when we speak of the Christian persevering? Kind of, but no, not really. Of course, it is a fact that not all who profess to be Christians are Christians at all and will fall by the wayside. One of the 12 disciples spent 3 years with the other 11, and those other 11 hadn't a clue that he would not go the distance. Paul had companions on his mission team who didn't go the distance. Jesus, in the parable of the sower, makes it clear that many will not go the distance, some will barely start and fall away. How do I know it won't happen to me? How can I have any assurance that this might not happen to me and that I will continue with Christ? Well, this is where the doctrine of perseverance, on the one hand, seems to be something of a challenge to us, but is much more comforting than you might at first imagine, because it's actually about the truth that if you are a genuine believer, you will persevere to the end of your earthly life. So it is, on the one hand, an exhortation to us that we need to do all that we can to persevere. We need to give of ourselves, but we have wonderful assurances in God's word that all true believers do persevere to the end. That's one of the marks of being a true believer. there's far more to it than just about trying your best to remain faithful. You'll be glad to know. In this little evening series, I've quoted several times from Wayne Grudem's Systematic Theology. He provides some really helpful summaries of certain Christian doctrines. His explanation as to what this doctrine of perseverance is all about. He says, it means that all those who are truly born again will be kept by God's power and will persevere as Christians until the end of their lives, and that only those who persevere until the end have been truly born again. It doesn't sound quite so scary now, does it? I hope. The Christian is indwelt by Christ. The Christian has God the Spirit within. The Christian is empowered and strengthened by the Spirit of God. And it's because of that that they continue in the faith. It's because of that that they are able to keep on running the race. It's because of that that they want to. It's because this is what God is producing in you as one who now belongs to Him. So I want to think about this topic a little bit more now under three headings. First of all, assurances. Things in God's Word which will bring you assurance on this topic so that it doesn't cause you all kinds of worry and anxiety, because it's not intended to. It's actually intended to encourage you. We need to remember that this perseverance, it's not the way we usually think about it. Consider the life of this man. At the age of 22, he failed in his first business adventure. He ran to be part of United States legislature, but was defeated at the age of 23. He had a second failed business at the age of 24. He eventually managed to be elected to the legislature at 25. His sweetheart, whom he had hoped to marry, died when he was 26. He had a nervous breakdown when he was 27. Between the ages of 29 to 34, he ran for three different roles in government and was defeated every single time. He eventually managed to be elected to Congress at the age of 37. But 2 years later, he was defeated and lost his seat. He ran for the Senate at the age of 46, but was defeated. He stood for vice president at the age of 47, but was defeated. He ran for the Senate again at the age of 49 and was defeated. And then remarkably, at the age of 51, was elected as President of the United States. That's the life of Abraham Lincoln. And some will say, well, there you go. If you keep trying, if you keep trying, you'll make it in the end. Never give up. And it will all work out eventually. I'm not sure we can take Abraham Lincoln as a typical example. Is that what we mean by perseverance? No, because you see, for the Christian, our perseverance is based upon something concrete. Something far more concrete than keep on trying and hopefully it will all work out in the end. That's not the kind of perseverance we're talking about. In John chapter 10, Jesus said these words, "My sheep hear my voice, I know them, they follow me, I give them eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. See, one of the huge truths that lies behind your persevering as a Christian is that you are being held and kept in eternal hands. Those who are truly saved are the object of divine promise and will remain forever saved. That puts a rather different slant on things, doesn't it, than simply try your hardest and it might work out in the end. Famous words of the Apostle Paul in his opening chapter of his letter to the Philippians at verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Who will do the completing? God will. And now my heart is beginning to be a little bit more comforted as I think about this topic of perseverance. It isn't just about you all on your own, striving, striving, striving. God has begun a work in you, and he will see it through to the end. This is starting to sound much more hopeful for me. Is it sounding more hopeful for you? What have we read recently in the first letter of Peter in the opening chapter? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away. It's reserved in heaven for you. And the way that is framed in the scriptures here, that means you will one day be there to receive that inheritance that's waiting for you. There isn't a house in heaven that's got your name on and will forever remain empty because you haven't made it. It's not how it works. Christ is preparing a place for each of his people. He's preparing a place for you. And the promise of God's word is that you will be in that place one day when he returns, because you are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. You will be there when Christ returns if you belong to him. So we have these great promises in God's word, which are this underlying assurance when we think about this topic of perseverance and keeping on. God has reserved for you an inheritance in eternity, which you are guaranteed to receive. And God keeps and sustains you through faith. John 14, Jesus speaking, I will pray the Father, he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. Forever. The helper who is with you forever. These are the assurances in God's word that undergird this great doctrine that we're thinking about. Those who are truly saved receive the permanent indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And we have assurances like this in Romans chapter 8. Who is he who condemns? It's Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Christ is praying and interceding for his people at the throne of grace. He continues to intercede for you in heaven. You're not left to your own devices and may the best man win. That's not what we're talking about. So this isn't the survival of the fittest. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Those who are truly saved, they prove that they're truly saved by progressing in sanctification. They're progressively being transformed into the image of Christ. They work out their salvation in a changed life. We've been greatly comforted by some of these themes in recent weeks and months. In 2 Peter, his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. This is how the Christian can persevere to the end. That comes through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises. We've just read some of them, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature. You're kept by God's grace, united to Christ, indwelt by his Spirit, that you might persevere. And it's on account of that that you will persevere if you belong to the Saviour. You prove the keeping of God's grace. You demonstrate your union with Christ. You live out the indwelling of the Holy Spirit as you persevere and press on. Young William Wilberforce was greatly troubled and discouraged one night in the early 1790s after another defeat in his 10-year battle against the slave trade in England. He was tired, he was frustrated, and by candlelight he opened his Bible, and as he started to flick through it, a piece of paper fell to the floor. He picked it up. It was a short letter that had been written to him by John Wesley some time earlier. John Wesley had died by this time. And William Wilberforce opened up the letter and read it again. This is what John Wesley said to him. "Unless the divine power has raised you up, I see not how you can go through your glorious enterprise in opposing that abominable practice of slavery, which is the scandal of religion, of England, and of human nature. Unless God has raised you up for this very thing, you will be worn out by the opposition of men and devils. But if God be with you, who can be against you? Are all of them together stronger than God?" And this is how he concluded. "Oh, be not weary of well-doing. Go on in the name of God and in the power of his might." That's how the Christian perseveres. That's why the Christian perseveres. Because you have all of these underlying promises and assurances in God's word of what he has done for you and in you, and how he will bring it to completion if you truly are his child. But we also have to recognize that there are hindrances. Perhaps the parable of the sower can be very helpful in Matthew chapter 13, as the farmer goes out to sow in his field and the seed lands on different soils. And of course, there are different results from the different places where the seed falls. Some seed doesn't persevere in the slightest. Some of it is plucked up off the path by the birds almost the moment that it's sown. And there are those other hearts. Some are taken up by the cares of the world. Some, when they reach all kinds of struggles and problems, find that the word of God is snatched away. They find that the things of the world choke them and strangle them, and they don't make progress spiritually. Some have no depth of root, and even though they seem to have sprung up quite quickly to begin with, they just cannot last. And Christ makes it clear that there are those, nevertheless, who are not like that at all. And when the seed lands on good soil, it will take root the seed will germinate, the seed will grow, and it will bear fruit. And the fruit will come in different quantities from each of the seeds that was planted, from each of the plants that are the result of that sowing. But each one will continue, each one will bear fruit, each one will do that for which it was planted in the first place. And so the problem is that either the word of God and the gospel never did take root in the heart properly in the first place, it was superficial, or despite the fact of such a promising beginning, there are things that are able to come in and choke the life out of that plant, and it will not continue. The cares of the world, the worries of this life, the love of the world that hasn't really gone away. But the good ground produces lasting growth. The good ground receives the word of God, and it takes root and it produces fruit. And it continues. And it's a source of great joy to the one who's done the sowing. There are those things that can be hindrances to us in our lives, so we need to be aware of them. We need to be alert to them. We've been considering some of those things in this series, those things of the world and the devil and of our own flesh, which can rise up and thwart us, snuff out what appeared to be true spiritual life, or for others, cause significant backsliding. Yet if they are truly the Lord's, they will return. They will repent. They will come back to Him. They will press on. They will continue faithful to the end. And so there are hindrances to our persevering, so we need to be alert to these things. We need to be mindful of them. And the Word of God gives us plenty of warnings and helps in dealing with all of these things. It won't be plain sailing. The perseverance, despite all of those great promises that we've just considered, and despite all of those things that are said about Christian believers, it can be tough, it can be hard going, it can be testing, it can be trying. The Apostle Paul on several occasions almost felt like giving up. He was convinced at one point that this is just going to be the death of me, I can't go on. But he did. He was able to press on. God's grace gave and gave and gave again, as we were singing earlier. So there are hindrances. We need to be realistic about those things. But there are these wonderful assurances that we have from the Scriptures. And there are also things that God has given that we can use that will help us and keep us and enable us to press on. So we have assurances. There are things that will be hindrances to us. Things outside, things within, things of the world. Sometimes, sadly, even things that take place within the church. We were thinking about that this morning. But God has promised to keep and to save and to preserve, so that you're able to endure and continue by His grace and in His goodness. And when all of those hindrances would come in, there are helps to which we can turn that will keep you and sustain you. What are the helps that God gives you that you might persevere? Well, you need to use the means of grace that God has given you, for one thing, don't you? You need to use the Word of God. Psalm 119 at verse 11, "Your word I've hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you, that my life might continue in truth and holiness and righteousness before the Lord." that I might give myself in the pursuit of godliness. And I use the Word of God. I need the Word of God for that. I need it to teach me, to instruct me, to correct me, to rebuke me, to set me back on the right path when I've gone astray. I need the Bible. You cannot possibly persevere as a Christian without the Word of God. You need it so dearly, and God has given it to you so dearly that you might use it for your good. And it's through that word that we've seen in 2 Peter again in the opening chapter, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that you might become partakers of the divine nature. God is continuing this sanctifying work within your soul, within your heart, within your mind, that you might continue to grow and mature in the things of the faith, that you might learn of him and press on and be greatly helped in your Christian walk. It's important to give yourself to Christian duties and to Christian service, to be active in serving the Lord and serving his people. There's that well-known story when King David was on the roof of his house, his palace in Jerusalem, and his eyes fell upon Bathsheba. And that led to his downfall before the Lord and before the people. He should have been leading his army as they went to war, but he'd stayed back. And his eyes fell where they shouldn't have. So one of the things that will help to keep you is giving yourself to those Christian duties that God has given you. Duties as a husband or a wife in the home, that you fulfill those duties that God has given you as a parent towards your children, fulfilling those duties that God has given you as an employer, an employer if you run a business, as an employee in the workplace, that you fulfill all the duties that you have as a child of God within the life of the church, that you're fulfilling all of the duties that the Word of God places before you as a member of the church, as part of the body of Christ, that you are fulfilling your role in your place, because the church grows together according to what every joint supplies, and you will also benefit greatly from the others who are doing the same. If we all are to persevere, we need each other. Now, we don't need each other to the same degree that we need Christ, but we do need each other, because that is how God has designed his church to work. That he uses each of us as instruments, serving and encouraging one another within the life of the church. You need Christian fellowship. And so if we neglect these things, if we remain absent from the gathered church, if you remain absent from the church's times of prayer, if you remain absent when those times when the Word of God is read, when the Word of God is being preached, don't be surprised if you suddenly find that you're not persevering the way you should, because you're not using the means of grace that God has given to you for that purpose. A coal taken out of the fire soon dies. We need one another. And we're to work out our salvation. We're to prove the genuineness of our faith. And we're to press on. In 1972, NASA launched an exploratory space probe called Pioneer 10. The primary mission of that satellite was to reach the planet Jupiter. It was to photograph the planet and its moons. It was to beam data back to Earth about Jupiter's magnetic field, its radiation, its atmosphere. The scientists at the time regarded this as a very bold plan. Jupiter's a very long way away. At that time, no satellite had ever gone beyond the planet Mars. They feared that an asteroid belt further out in space might destroy it long before it could reach its target. But Pioneer 10 accomplished its mission and much, much more. The Earth is approximately 93 million miles away from the Sun. And Pioneer 10 was moving further and further away towards the edge of our solar system. Swinging past the giant planet in November of 1973, Jupiter's immense gravity produced a massive slingshot effect and hurled Pioneer 10 onwards at a speed that's reckoned to be more than 80,000 miles an hour. At 1 billion miles away from the Sun, roughly, Pioneer 10 went past Saturn. At some nearly 3 billion miles, it hurtled past Neptune. Distances are approximate. See Amen if you want something more precise. By 1997, 25 years after its launch, Pioneer 10 was more than 6 billion miles from the Sun. The very last weak signal was received from it in January 2003, when it was more than 7 billion miles from the Sun. Who knows where it might now be, if it's still around, in one piece. Despite that immense distance, it continued to beam back radio signals to scientists. And perhaps most remarkable is that those signals came from an 8-watt transmitter. That's about enough power to turn on a light bulb. And the signal took more than 9 hours to come back to Earth. Engineers had designed Pioneer 10 to have a useful life of about 3 years. But it just kept going and going and going. So this remarkable story of perseverance, it's actually a fluke, really. It was never intended to be that way. It just happened. Is this persevering if you make it to the end? Is it just going to be a fluke? No. If you make it to the end, is that something that God never intended? Of course he intended it. Of course he intended it. This is what he made you for. To continue right to the very end. You're persevering in the faith. Whilst it is something to which you must give yourself, because you need to use those means of grace, don't you? It's not a vain hope. Let's see who might be able to make it. But we're really not very sure. That's not what we're talking about here. Persevering to the end is the life to which you have been called in Christ. He's called you to himself in order that you will persevere to the end and receive that reward in heaven that even now he's preparing for you. That's God's plan and purpose for you. Perseverance is God's will and purpose for his people. It's something which God has provided for. He's provided you with everything that you need in order that you might persevere. God has he's got all the bases covered in his plan of salvation, hasn't he? Every single thing. He's got it all covered. Infinite wisdom, infinite knowledge, infinite love, infinite grace. Christ persevered to the very end. How did Christ persevere to the end? Well, God kept him. God strengthened him. We read of occasions when God sent angels to strengthen Christ. Jesus employed the means of grace. What a man of prayer he was. What a man of the word he was. There is a man who would assemble weekly with God's people in the synagogue and never miss. Because these things keep us. They're not just dull rules to keep. They're real means of grace for the Lord's people. Christ rested upon and claimed God's promises. We hear of some of those things and the things that Jesus says, especially in John's Gospel when he speaks of that relationship between himself and his Father and the Holy Spirit. All of these things that have been decided in eternity past, and Christ rests upon them. And if you will give of yourself in the same way, you too will be kept. You will be strengthened to the very end. And it will be to the honor and glory of Christ, your Savior and your Lord, that you do that. He will keep you. He will strengthen you. His grace will prove sufficient. He is waiting to welcome every single one of you home as a good and faithful servant. That will be his heart's delight to do that. For this he has called you, that you might go on with him. Faithful, glad, joyful, rejoicing, worshiping, thankful, obedient. Right to the end. And then, glory with him forever. What a great thing it is to belong to Christ. What a sure and certain thing it is to belong to Christ. What a foundation it is upon which we live. What promises are in his word. What certainty we are to have as the Lord's people for everything that God has done for us in his plan of salvation, that we will keep on to the very end. May the Lord be blessed to keep every single one of us in his grace. Keep us in faith. Keep us in hope. Keep us in rejoicing. Keep us in worship and praise and thanksgiving. Keep us faithful to one another in the life of the church. Keep us that we might be good husbands and fathers and mothers and wives and children. For this we've been called. By God's grace, he'll keep us to the very end. And you and I will press on. And it will all resound to the praise and glory of Christ. Because it is all of him.